In ancient China, a scholar was going home when a woman's crying drifted on the night air. He approached her and asked if she was all right. She was beautiful. "I'm a concubine," the woman said. "I displeased my master, and I fear I'm in danger." The scholar offered to help her and asked if she had a place to stay the night. The concubine didn't. The scholar said she could stay with him and his wife. She thanked him, and he led her home. That was the beginning of the concubine demon. And this is Legends from the Pacific. Aloha, and thank you for joining us. This is your podcast about Asian and Pacific Islander folklore and cultural history, Legends from the Pacific. Welcome to your episode 154, The Concubine Demon. I am Kamuela Kaneshiro, a native Hawaiian professional writer, speaker, and Comic-Con panelist with extensive film and television experience. I study mythology, I've encountered unusual things, and I'm a geek.
In the beginning, there was the Pacific Ocean. A canoe broke the horizon, piloted by Pele, a beautiful Polynesian maiden who dominated the waves until she felt safe to stop.
The audiobook of Our Legends from the Pacific, Book 1, is now available, narrated by multi-award-winning voice actress Emily Wu Zeller. Emily has worked on anime, the video game Cyberpunk 2077, and over 500 audiobooks including Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, From a Certain Point of View. Just click the link in our show notes to purchase our audiobook and enjoy Emily telling our stories today. Later in this episode, your featured song and Hawaiian word, but first, let me share with you the concubine demon. As usual, I apologize for any mispronounced names or words and appreciate your understanding. Because who would have known talking positively about cultures and sharing them, and even writing about these things, would upset people? The scholar introduced himself as Wang and took the concubine to his residence. There, he introduced his wife, Chen. The concubine requested she not reveal her name, since word might spread to her master. The couple agreed, and the concubine got settled in the study. While both the scholar, Wang, and his wife, Chen, were happy to help the concubine, Chen was disturbed by something about her. Days passed. Then the concubine seduced Wang. After the affair, when Wang was in town, a Taoist priest told him a demon held its grip on the young man. Wang scoffed at the superstitious nonsense and continued home. As he rounded the corner to his door, he passed his window and saw a demon in his study. It had green skin, jagged teeth, and painted the concubine's beautiful face on an unusual canvas. Wang's trembling hand covered his mouth as the demon held its creation to the light. The canvas was human skin. The creature shook out the skin, then slipped it on. Wang returned to the priest and begged forgiveness. The Taoist priest forgave him as Wang explained what the demon was doing. The priest nodded, "You are in grave danger, for it may be too late." He gave Wang a trinket to hang over his doorway. The scholar thanked the priest. At home, the concubine demon stirred in the study. Wang placed the trinket over the door. His wife Chen entered and asked what he was doing. He begged her to forgive him, then explained the concubine was a demon who seduced him, but a Taoist priest gave him a trinket to put over the door. The concubine demon approached from the study. At the doorway, she hissed, "How dare you! I've come too close and waited too long to be denied my prize by mere trinket." Wang shielded Chen as the creature's eyes glowed. Then it squirmed, screeched, and yelled, crossing the entry. It laughed, towering over Wang. Then its claw plunged into the scholar's chest, pulled his heart, and ate it. His body collapsed as the demon fled into the night. Chen raced to town, found the priest, and explained what happened. The priest gasped. I didn't know how powerful this demon was. He grabbed his items and tracked the demon to Wang's brother's house. Chen greeted her brother-in-law, and the priest asked if he took in any young maidens. No, the brother said, but there was an old woman who sought shelter. She's resting inside. The priest shoved the brother out of the way. The demon's eyes glowed among the candlelight. The priest approached and drew a wooden sword. The demon reared up and they fought. After a series of exchanges, the priest lunged and sliced her head off. Winds lifted the demonic essence. The priest's eyes glowed as he chanted and produced a gourd. Winds shifted, and the essence was contained in the gourd. The demon's painted skin was heaped on the ground. The priest's eyes dimmed as he rolled it up. Chen told her brother-in-law what happened to Wang. The two wept, and Chen asked the priest if he could resurrect her husband. The priest frowned. Such power is beyond me and anyone I know. The closest with that ability appears to you as a madman, because he exists between worlds. Seek him if you truly wish for your husband's return, but be warned. Once you ask the lunatic for help, you must not leave his side until he tells you. Chen thanked the priest and said goodbye to her brother-in-law. The lunatic screamed at the winds. His pungent stench filled several blocks. His red eyes enhanced his disheveled appearance. Chen bowed, explained her husband was killed by a demon in a concubine's skin, and wished his help in resurrecting her beloved. The madman wailed, mocked, and teased Chen, but she didn't respond. He continued his ranting and raving, grabbed a stick, and hit Chen several times. She cried, but kept thinking of her husband. The lunatic grabbed her, studied her face, then coughed up phlegm and told her to swallow it. Chen did in one gulp. The madman's eyes widened. He turned away. Leave, foolish mortal. You bore me. Chen sobbed, went home, cradled her husband, placed her head against his. She coughed between sobs, started dry heaving, coughed up a heart, which fell into her beloved's chest. The heart thumped. Broken ribs reconnected, muscle tissue regenerated, skin mended, and Wang opened his eyes. Then, husband and wife embraced each other. A big mahalo nui loa to our Patreon members, including our newest Patreon member, Charlene. Mahalo nui loa, Charlene, and welcome aboard. Please consider becoming a Patreon member who support our mission in spreading Asian and Pacific Islander cultural history and awareness. Our current members include Charlene, Will and Ollie Geis, Christopher, Meg, Jessica Bullock, Edward Pueohenki, Felisa H, and the Makuli Guy. Your support keeps our show going. Our Patreon members enjoy an exclusive monthly Hawaiian story, like the rare story of who the Hawaiian volcano god was before Pele, the return of the Hawaiian demigod brothers Kana and Nehue, an additional story of Kamapua'a on Oahu, and other nifty benefits. Your rewards are waiting for you, so click the link in our show notes and become a Legends from the Pacific Patreon member today. Now, this episode's story was a very popular tale that has been made and reinterpreted into movies and television shows. Stamps were even made of this story, which depict the demon painting its concubine's skin. Like many popular tales, this story has other variations. Some stated Wang only saw the concubine as a warm female body. I kinda agree with this, since some men love the thrill of the chase for another notch in their belt. However, I'm more willing to side with the demon seducing Wang, since men typically have a need to save a damsel in distress. But unfortunately, we may not fully understand our ramifications. Hold on, princess. You're telling me the dragon I just killed to save you was your dad? Now your family's coming for revenge? What? So, what'd we learn? Well, you may feel Wang's wife Chen was the real victim here, and trust me, I'm right there with you. However, we should focus on the story's teachings, which illustrate how men are easily fooled and underestimate things, while underline the strength of women. Going deeper, the demon represented a supernatural aspect that disrupted society. Wang, representing the scholastic aspects of life, kept the demon in the study, which didn't harm it. This could be interpreted as the world's educated aspects not explaining or defeating the supernatural disruption. While religion defeated the supernatural aspect, it did not correct the disruption. The only thing that identified the threat was Chen's love, which also restored balance. What can we take away from this? Perhaps no matter what happens, love is possibly the strongest power there is. More importantly, do you feel this could be a Valentine's Day story? Write in and let me know. Well, we're slowly getting back to normal. I deeply apologize for our long break. As stated before, my grandmother passed, and I'd just like to thank everyone for their emails and messages. I know she's in a better place. Since our last episode, I also got sick a couple times and lost my voice for a bit. I was very shocked with how long I didn't have my voice, which set getting our show back on schedule further back. Nonetheless, I'm doing my best to get back to our routine, and I deeply appreciate your patience, your continued support, and helping with our mission of spreading Asian and Pacific Islander cultural history and awareness. Turning our attention to the lunar calendar, 2024 is the year of the Yang Wood Dragon. For my fellow Discworld fans, 2024 is the year of the Moribund Aardvark. So, happy year of the Moribund Aardvark, everyone. Our podcast is now 4 years old. Can you believe that? Also, 20 years ago, I started podcasting with my friend Kento. Our podcast was Off the Air's Geek Nation, which branched out to Kumu AM Radio. Off the Air's Geek Nation, uniting the world one geek at a time. 20 years ago, now that is crazy for me to consider. Our theme song is Mystery by Tavana, courtesy of High Sessions. Sound effects are by Sound Effects Factory. Our music coordinator is Matt Duffy, aka DJ Triple Bypass. Links and shows can be found on our website, legendsfromthepacific.com, including a link to your featured song, which is our theme song, Mystery by Tavana, courtesy of High Sessions. Legends from the Pacific was written, produced, and edited by me, Kamuela Kanashiro. I also wrote original stories. Your featured Hawaiian word is Piha Makahiki. Piha Makahiki means anniversary. An example of Piha Makahiki is, our show is celebrating its fourth Piha Makahiki. Once again, Piha Makahiki is Hawaiian for anniversary. As a side note, Laho'o Mana O is what you'd say to somebody to wish them a happy anniversary. So, from me to you, Laho'o Mana O. We wouldn't be here without you, and we're happy that you're with us. Once again, that's Laho'o Mana O. Thank you once again for listening and supporting our show. Mahalo and a hui ho!
Take me to the land of the rising sun. I can hear the prophets of the Holy One. Take me on a train to the rhythm time, where I can hear the saints of the sacred sound. The wind will always blow the way, and I know the tide's gonna rise again. If only you just believe it.